You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. This is the Refresh Radio Program. It's a ministry of Merritt Assembly of God. My name is Bob Arthurs. I have the privilege and the honor of pastoring the wonderful saints at Merritt Assembly of God, and just getting started, 33 years in, and hope that you have found a church that you are plugged into and that is preaching the Word of God, and you are thriving in your relationship with Jesus. If you do not, I would like to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God. Tonight we have a Bible study at 7 p.m. We're studying the book of Exodus, lessons from the life of Moses. Right now we're learning some of the lessons that we can learn from the plagues that Pharaoh and the Egyptians experienced. Would love to have you come out and be a part of it. We produce a study guide every Wednesday, and you bring your Bible. We've got the pen, we got the chairs, we've got the tables, and I have found that there is a lot of valuable information in the study guide that we're going through. Hopefully you can come and join us tonight at 7 p.m. 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. Some of the landmarks in the area: Ola Cuban Kitchen is right across the street. Many times there are people that park there in front of the church. We have a parking lot in the back as well. On the entrance to that is on Tangerine Avenue, where the church sits on the corner of Grove and Tangerine. There's a chiropractor in the neighborhood. There is also an orthodontist right down the street from us on Grove Street. We used to be two blocks down from where the Pizza Hut stood, and that gives you a general idea of where we're at. Two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway at the corner of Grove and Tangerine. We'd love to see you tonight at 7 p.m. So today we are going to return back to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 41. Read on down through verse 47. That's the end of the chapter. Jesus said, "I do not receive honor from men, but I know you that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" There are some things that I want to share with you from the verses preceding this that I hadn't necessarily highlighted. But the first one is this: Jesus is not threatened by the opposition of man. If you oppose him, if you reject him, if I reject him, if everybody rejects him, it does not change the reality of who he is. He knows who he is. He knows where he came from. He knows why he came to earth. He knows what he's doing right now. He's preparing a place for you. He is not threatened by your problems. He's not threatened by your successes. His identity is the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changing. And so no matter how large the problem you are facing, please understand that God is bigger. God is more powerful. God is deserving of the glory and the honor and the power and the praise. Another thing that I have written down here is that the audience to whom Jesus was speaking had rejected Jesus because they never heard God's voice, and God's voice had been spoken at Jesus' baptism. There was a supernatural announcement by angels at his birth. There was recognition that would take place, another audible voice, at the Mount of Transfiguration. And in all of those cases, Jesus said, this voice was not for my benefit, it was for your benefit. I already knew the things that the voice had to say. And so many people reject the voice of God. They reject Jesus because their spiritual ear is not tuned to the voice of God. They had never seen God's form. In other words, they saw all of the things that are going on, and they never once gave any consideration to where God was acting in the situation. Revelation chapter 4 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible because it shows that the throne of God is not a passive place. It's a dynamic place. It's a place of authority. It's a place of wisdom, a place of awareness. And it is a place where God is worshiped nonstop. So that's the template, if you will, for understanding that there's actual activity that is taking place because God is actively bringing about his plan, his purpose on the earth. I will also say this. The devil is very active. And people will see the evil and they will blame God because evil is taking place. But if there is no evil going on per se at the moment, that it never enters their mind that it's because God was controlling the situation and preventing that from happening. People want to give the blame to God and they want to give the devil a free pass. I think that is a serious problem. I can look out at society right now and I can see that the devil is very active, but I can also see that God is about his business. And I know from the word of God that the devil is a defeated foe. So whenever I look and analyze at a situation, I look at it from the premise of who God is, what the word of God says about him. And then I form my approach to that situation from the scriptural foundation of truth that is God. The third rejection of Jesus was because they did not have God's word abiding in them. It's not just abiding in our head. It's got to be abiding in our heart. And so if it's not there, if people do not have the written word of God in their heart, then their relationship with the living word Jesus is never going to be what it's supposed to be. And then the next thing you know, people are elevating their feelings over the word of God, and they're making bad choices and bad decisions and living bad lives because they do not have the foundation of the word of God. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." So, this is another statement. This goes back to verse number 40, and that is this: Jesus has a tender eagerness to save, met by a stubborn refusal to be saved. God is very eager for people to be saved, and people who are enjoying the life of darkness are very reluctant to be saved. So, anyway, verse number 41, this tells you a lot about Jesus. It says, I do not receive honor from men. So there's a wonderful individual that I know, and they specialize in helping people with to process thought. They're wonderful believer, love Jesus, love the Word of God, believe in miracles, great, great people. And one of the things that keeps reminding, that I keep getting reminded of whenever I have conversations with them is all of the things that go on in a person's mind. There was a person that I was talking to one time, and they said, I don't know how to think like anybody else. I only know how to think the way that I think. And, you know, we can get stuck there. The good news is that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind and create new neural pathways, if you will, to the extent that we can think differently. Paul said, I used to think like a child. Now I'm a man and I think like a man. So we can change the way that we think. And it comes by living a surrendered life to Jesus and allowing him to transform us. So I say that because our brains are wired in such a way that we get these increases of levels in our brain activity if there is something positive that happens to us. If someone says something that is affirming to us, all of a sudden there's this rush of dopamine that comes flooding into our system, and it gives a positive physiological response because someone did something nice, said something nice, and it ends up having huge physiological ramifications because of this thing that floods into our system. One of the things that they find is that people who are addicted to social media, that they get that same sort of affirmation, if you will, that same physiological phenomena, if someone puts a positive comment on their post, or if someone likes it or loves it or something like that. And what that is our bodies responding to someone who has given us some input that is honoring to us. It reaffirms what we think. It lets us know that we are not out there on an island by ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? There's nothing wrong with being an encourager to someone else. No problem with that whatsoever. Unless that affirmation from other people causes us to position ourselves in such a way that we do not let our affirmation come from God. So there are people who have gone to great physical trauma to get physical affirmation from other people. Affirmation that says, wow, you look like this. You look amazing. You know, and they're going through all of this physical stuff. People who change themselves physiologically in drastic ways, all to try and get some sort of affirmation or honor from someone else that says, wow, you love me. You really, really love me. Let me tell you this. We are not supposed to have any gods before God. Our affirmation are words of pleasure. The things that move us should be the honor that comes from God, not the honor that comes from men. People are very transitory, if you will, in their feelings. They can love you one minute and completely despise you the next. We live in a society right now where there are some people that they love you, and as long as you agree with everything that they have to say. If you disagree with one little bitty thing, they are done with you. They will move from your best friend to your most hostile enemy in a heartbeat because they're looking for that honor that comes from men. And I think that truly the church is supposed to be a place where we encourage one another. We give honor to whom honor is due. I'm not saying that we don't build people up. Lord knows that the world is very great about tearing people down. We need to be building people up in their most holy faith. But our identity and our affirmation should come from the Father, not from men. Jesus says this in verse number 42, "But I know you." I want that part of that verse to, you know, let it make its impact for just a moment. As you're here, understand God knows you. He knows me better than I know me. And that's why one of the most dangerous prayers that we can ever pray, and I recommend that you pray it, don't run from it, run to it, is God, make me holy. Make me holy because you are holy. And I want you to understand that is a noble prayer. But it is also a painful prayer because when you pray it, God expects that you mean for him to do exactly that, to make you holy. And the way that he does that is he begins to bring to the surface everything in his time. He brings to the surface everything that is not holy. And when he brings it to the surface, it's not to make us feel bad. It's so that we can repent of it, surrender it to him, and let him purge it from our life. I know you. Now, the most important thing that God knows about us is whether or not our heart is right with Jesus. I can tell you this. He knows your name. He knows your weight. He knows your natural hair color. He knows the thoughts that you think and the intentions in your heart. He knows you. He knows the trauma you've been through. He knows every prayer that you've prayed. He doesn't just know about you. He knows you. Jesus said to his audience, "I know you." You know, there's in John chapter 8, I believe it is. I'm turning over there. I'll let you know in just a moment. John chapter 8, they bring to Jesus a woman caught in the act of adultery. And in the process of them saying, "Hey, Moses said that she should be stoned. What do you have to say?" And Jesus has stooped down. He's stands up and says, "Well, let him who's without sin cast the first stone." And he's down and he's using his finger to write on the soil. And it said that the people began to leave from the oldest to the youngest. And nobody really knows for sure what he wrote down on the ground. Anybody who tells you they know for sure what he wrote down does not know for sure what Jesus wrote on the ground. It doesn't say. There are several wonderful theories. There's a verse that talks about in Hosea about ladies caught in compromising sexual relationships, and you know, that there should have been a righteous standard. It wasn't just the woman that was supposed to be dealt with. It was supposed to be the woman and the man. So there's that as a possibility. Some people thought he wrote down other things. One of the theories was that he began to write down people's names and started, you know, he could have started listing out the sins of everyone. No one knows for sure, but I can tell you this, Jesus knows all of those things. He knows us, and he knows the condition of our heart. He knows the condition of our life. And yet he still loves us, still believes in God's plan of redemption for us. Don't run from him. Don't try and hide from him. Run to him. You say, if he knows, listen, it's one of the devil's favorite tactics is to tempt us to sin against God. And then whenever we sin against him, to begin to beat us up and try and keep us from running to God. Don't run from him, run to him. He loves to forgive people and empower them by the grace of God to live the life God wants us to live. So this is what Jesus tells them. You know, when he came to Zacchaeus, he said Zacchaeus was up in a tree in the midst of a crowd so he could see Jesus. And he gets there and he looks up and says, Zacchaeus, I'm eating at your house tonight. Knows all about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was despised in the community. And Jesus later says salvation has come to this house this day. But there was transformation in Zacchaeus. So this is what Jesus says. I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I don't ever want that to be true about me, and I don't want it to be true about you. The prepositional phrase there is of, not for. You do not have the love of God in you, not the love from God or the love for God. And so if I were to ask you right now, what is your inclination towards God? There are a lot of people, they will say things like, well, I believe in God. Okay. So do the demons and they tremble. The question that Jesus had for Peter in John chapter 21 wasn't, Peter, do you know me? Peter, do you believe in me? The question was, Peter, do you love me? And I believe it was the fish. Do you love me more than these? Jesus is not looking for a comparison. I was telling a person last week about this missions trip that I took on, and realized later that the youth pastor who was leading that trip was actually, you know, getting us to do work and do it pretty quickly. And that was, I had very skinny arms, and it was like, well, how many folding chairs can you carry? Every night we were taking folding chairs and setting them up and taking them down and putting them away and all that sort of stuff. And I carried a lot of folding chairs at one time, because I could get folding chairs all the way up to my elbows on both sides wasn't comfortable. It was very painful, but I could get them there. I want to be known as a person that has God's type of love in me. That I'm not just a recipient of it, but I'm also a practitioner of it. So here we are. It's June the 10th. There's a lady in our church. Happy birthday. Today's her birthday. I want to ask you to, in your prayer time, saying, God, I know that you know me. You know me better than I know me. Do I have the type of love operating in my heart that reflects the type of love that you want, that agape, unconditional, sacrificial love, that love that is willing to forgive, that love that is willing to spend time with people? You know, all of the disciples had serious flaws. Jesus just has some serious love, some serious grace, some serious mercy. And folks, I want you to know, the church should be known for the presence of God. We should be known for the truth of God. We should also be known for being a place where the love of God resides in us and it operates through us. Jesus said, I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. That's the verse that brought us to John chapter 5. Disciples of Jesus, practitioners and followers of Jesus, should be people that when God says, have you considered, this is what he said about Job, have you considered my servant Job? Satan said, yeah, I know all about him. Yeah, you cheat. You have blessed him so much that there's no way that I can get to him. And God said, you don't know him the way that I know him. His love for me is far more than what you're giving him credit for. I pray that about us, God will say, I know those people that listen to WMIE. They love me. And they have the love of God in their heart. I pray that it's said about the people of Merit Assembly of God, I know you, that you do have the love of God going on in your life. I pray that all of our churches, all of our Bible preaching churches will be known as centers of people who love God and they have the love of God in their heart and on display each and every day. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.